But praise God, things are coming back in the name of Jesus. You know, in the world we live in today, and you look around and you talk to people, and they're hopeless. They're talking about there's no hope for a better tomorrow. Seems like they've just lost their hope. Maybe in the natural, it doesn't look like it much is getting any better. You know, it may be hard to imagine a future with the way things have been going. Some people say, well, I don't see anything better. Well, I believe there's a hope for a better future. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 8:7, reading from the New International Version, since no one knows the future, who can tell what is to come? Even Solomon was wondering what was going to come. But the Apostle Paul gives a good answer in 2 Corinthians 1:20 in the Beck translation. For all of God's promises in Christ is yes. That makes them come true. And so he makes it possible to give us glory, makes it possible for us to give glory to God by saying it is true. So I really want to encourage everybody today, the fact that God has the future. God has the future. It's not wrapped up in what man can do. It's wrapped up in God. And we go back and we look at Israel, and they went into captivity. They were taken captives by the Babylonians. And while in that captivity, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 29, starting verse 10, talks to the children of Israel. This is what the Lord says. You'll be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I've promised. I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look to me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity, restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations, and I will set you where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. Jeremiah gave this to the people when they were in captivity. It seemed that there was no hope ever going back to their homeland. But he spoke to them in that dark hour. When in the natural, it did not seem like what Jeremiah was saying was even possible. But God said, hey, I have plans for you to give you a hope. He's telling them that to give them hope. Let me tell you something. God has plans. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in the Word of God. You know, he promised to end their captivity and bring them to their homeland and restore their fortunes. Let's do a little trip in imagination. Suppose, imagine that you had lost something that was very, very important to you and very valuable. And someone calls you and said, I found it. Wouldn't that give you a sense of hopefulness? You know, imagine how Israel felt if you were there and somebody found that special gift that you had lost and they said, I found it. It'd give you a hope of having it back again. Imagine how Israel must have felt when Jeremiah said, I have plans for you to give you a future, to bring you back to your homeland. Your whole life is going to be returned to you. And I believe our whole life will be returned to us if we'll believe God and stay with the Word of God and not look to the natural circumstances. It's not man, it's God. I believe these scriptures, that we can apply these scriptures to us today. God has plans. He is going to restore our fortune. I believe that He can do supernaturally what nothing in the natural can accomplish. Luke 18:27 says, if it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. I believe that. Now, there's a lot of people that quote that scripture, but do they really believe it, or are they just mouthing words? Come on now. You see, many people quote the Bible, but this quoting the Bible or reciting the Bible is not going to make it happen. You have to believe it in your heart, and you have to believe that what God said will come to pass in your life. See, the thing that holds many people back is they look at their past experience instead of looking to the future with the promises of God. Isaiah 43:18 says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the wasteland. I want to read that from the Message. It says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do a brand new thing. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert and rivers in the Badland. He told us to forget about the past. You know, our future is not based upon our past. Our future is based on the promises of God, what God said. You know, too many people are focused on what happened in the past. They talk about how unfair their upbringing was, how that they were mistreated, didn't live on the right side of town. They replay the memories of past failures and disappointments. You know, when I was growing up, you know, if you lived on the other side of the tracks, I lived on 3rd Street. You had to go across the tracks and get to 5th Street before you ever got to the good area, so to speak. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I grew up in the 50s, so I lived in sort of that no man's land there, okay? But none of that makes any difference. But too many people zero in on that and say that's holding them back. No, only thing that's holding you back is not believing what God said. You know, some people are holding on to the wrongs that somebody has done to them. Hey, don't mess up your blessing by holding on to that wrong. Forgive them and go on. It's their problem, not yours. It's time that you forget about what others and how they have hurt you. I'm going to tell you what. If I let what people said and say about me, you can go read it on the internet, what they say. Hey, it don't bother me. Somebody asked me not very long ago, do you know what they say? I said, I don't care. Don't that bother you? No, don't bother me. I'm doing what God said to do. I have a hope of a bright future with God. And it doesn't matter what they say. It's what God says. about me. It's what God says about you. Not what somebody else says. What God says. Robert Schuller said, let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future. I'm going to say that again. Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future. You know, some people missed out. You can read it in the Word of God. Because they look back instead of looking forward. One of the best examples of that is Lot's wife. She looked back and it cost her. Another group of people, these same Israelites, they got to the river to go across into the promised land and they refused to go and they began to look back. They had selective memory because they had forgotten about all the beatings and so forth that they had gotten. They looked back and they saw the food that they had eaten in Egypt and they said, let us get a leader and go back. They looked back. Paul was an individual that didn't look back at his past. In fact, he forgot his past. He said in Philippians 3:13, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to that that lies ahead. That's NLT, the Passion Translation. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. He chose to focus not on his past, but he looked forward to what God had called him for and what God had for him. You got to get past your past to get to the future. Don't get stuck on what's already happened. Let's not allow what's already happened to hold us back. Nobody is perfect. Everybody could blame something for things that happened in the past that weren't right, didn't turn out right. You got to remember, Paul had to forget that he was there at the stoning of Stephen. He had to forget that he was going about killing Christians. But he said, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. Too many people have never waved bye to the past. If you're going to go to the future with God, you've got to wave bye to the past and turn your face with the Word of God and set your course to follow God, knowing that He has a future for you. He has a hope for you. Let me tell you something. Too many people, I've talked to them, they have got their eyes on what's going on right now rather than what the Word of God says. The Word says that He will take care of us. I don't care what happens. You've got to believe that. He took care of the children of Israel when they come up against forces that were bigger than them. He caused them to win. He gave them food when they needed food. He gave them water when they needed water. Let me tell you what, I believe that same God is my God. That same God is my Father, and He will take care of me no matter what. Doesn't make any difference. I believe that. Many people, they have mental agreement with it, but it's one thing to mentally agree, but it's another thing to believe it in your heart. And act like it's so. I say it all the time. The natural and the supernatural coming together make an explosive force for God. I've done what the natural says to do. But every day I get out of that bed every morning and I say, Heavenly Father, the 91st Psalm, I'm walking in it today. No plague shall come up on me. No harm shall come to me. And with long life you will satisfy me. I believe that. There's a fellow in the Bible by the name of Job. You read that story. He was a wealthy man. He had everything. But all of a sudden, everything went south. He lost everything, even his family, his kids. Some people think he was that way the rest of his life. Let me tell you something. The whole book of Job took place in 9 months or less, depending on what chronological deal you want to go with. But then you go over in that 42nd chapter of Job, getting to the end of Job's life, or not his life, but the end of his problem. And it says, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Then all of his brothers and sisters and former friends came with a feast in his home, and they consoled him and comforted him because of all the trials the Lord had brought upon him. And each of them brought a gift of money and a gold ring. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than from the beginning. And he had twice as many sheep, twice as many camels, twice as many female donkeys. And he had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He did, when he began to pray for his friends, something happened. It's about time that we quit looking at ourselves and begin to look at others and begin to reach out and help others and lift others up. You know, instead of magnifying our troubles, we need to magnify God. Instead of thinking about us getting a blessing, we need to start being a blessing. My father used to tell me all the time, son, he'd say, don't pray for the Lord to bless you. Pray that the Lord will make you a blessing, because if you become a blessing, he will bless you. That's what the word says. I can hear him saying that in my head right now as I'm preaching to you. See, we need to stop talking about how big our troubles are and how much is going on, and start talking about how big God is and how God will deliver if we will believe him. You know, we can learn a lot from the future of Job. It was greater than his past. In fact, in Job 8:7, it says, though you started with little, you'll end with much. Though your beginning was small, yet the latter will increase abundantly. That's the New King James. Contemporary English. Your future will be brighter by far than your past. The Common English Bible. Although your former state was ordinary, your future will be extraordinary. Oh, I like that one. Don't y'all like that? Don't you like something extraordinary? That means, man, it's way out of there. Then the God's Word translation says, then what you had in the past will seem small compared with the great prosperity you'll have in the future. Now, the minute you use that word prosperity, everybody starts talking about money. There's a whole lot to more prosperity than money. I don't have time to teach on that. We may be living in a troubled world. You may be going through some trials, but God is not finished yet. Your past may have not been as good as it should have been, but God has a great future plan for you. Don't ever give up hope of a future, because God says, I know the plans I have for you. God promised in his word that he would come through for us. Every time, all the time, he will be there to deliver you, to bring you through whatever it is you're going through. There's a song that I was listening to. I believe Mike Perkey was singing it. Whatever you're going through, you're going through. Anybody ever heard Mike Perkey? Old Perkey, he's something else. I know Mike personally. He's a great guy. Whatever you're going through, you're going through. Hey, get that attitude. Whatever I'm going through, because God is with me and he'll bring me through to the other side. But too many people pitch a tent and set up camp right in the middle of trouble. Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this? No, you need to begin to look to God. God's word said that if you would follow him, he'd bring you through. And I read that scripture where he said he'd make a road in the desert. He'd give you water when you need water. Let me tell you something, people. If you begin to believe God and confess the word of God, your life will change. Things will change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. I done got excited, people. God's plans for your future are so much more than you have ever experienced before. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. That's the NLT, the New King James says. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than proud in spirit. We see God wants us to have a great future. No matter how great it has been in the past, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to what God has in store for you for the future. Whoa. No matter what you had or didn't have, God wants you to step in to greater things, to a better life. I'm not just talking about obtaining natural things, and thank God that's part of it. But I'm talking about doing more significant things for the kingdom of God. Helping to change people's lives. Helping to transfer people's feet from the road to hell to the boulevard that leads to the glory of God in heaven. How can we step into this? By believing God, by praying for others, by ministering to others for a better future. It doesn't come automatically. It comes when you are willing to exercise faith in God's word, believing the word, acting on the word, doing what the word says, living like the word says you are to live, then you can begin to see that your life will change. And there is hope. You've got to get to the point of the Apostle Paul in Acts 27:25. When he was on the pitch and rolling deck of that ship, the wind was blowing. The waves were beating against the ship. But he put his foot on the bow of that ship and he said, I believe God as it has told me. Somebody said, well, the angel of the Lord would come tell me that I'd believe God. Let me tell you something. You got something greater than an angel with a message. You got God himself right here speaking to you, telling you what you can do. Say it. There is a great hope for me for a great future. Glory to God. I can't give you the revelation of what that future is. All I can tell you is if you go with God, you'll get there. I heard my dad say many, many times, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I use that same thing. I believe the word of God, and that settles it. God said it. Say it with me. God said it.
I believe it.
That settles it. That means that nobody can come in and tell you any different. That means that you will never look to anything else but to the Word of God and stand on the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Hebrews writer says, keep the faith. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. That's the New King James. I'm going to read it from several different translations. NLT says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. The Voice Bible says, let us hold strong to the confession of our hope and never waver, since the one who promised it to us is faithful. God's Word translation. We must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. He didn't tell us how we're supposed to feel. He didn't tell us that we're supposed to discuss all the stuff that's going on and everything that's happening in your life. He didn't tell us to listen to the opinion of others. He told us to keep declaring the promises of God, and he will be faithful to reward you. Dare to believe. Dare to speak. And you'll see whatever you say come to pass. Don't doubt it. That's a paraphrase from Smith Wigglesworth, Ever Increasing Faith. A better future comes when people take hold of the promises of God and begin to act like they're true and walk in them. Somebody said, well, that's sort of simplistic. Let me tell you what. God is not complicated. The Word of God is not complicated. It says what it says the way God said it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God's plans for our future is greater than our past. William Carey, that became known as the father of modern missions. If you've ever read mission stuff, you've probably read after Carey. Because I know that's it's his, what he did is still phenomenal. In my missions class in school, we had to read about the different great missionaries, and he was the first one to have you read about. How many of you have ever read about William Carey? If you hadn't, go read about him. He went to India as a missionary. Years and years and years and years ago. I mean, back when the sailing ships. He endured many, many difficulties and hardships in his life. But he persevered and accomplished much for the kingdom. In spite of all the hardships, in spite of losing relatives, William Carey made a statement. And that statement that he made is a statement that we should get a hold of and believe. In his darkest hour, he said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. When he couldn't see the sunlight, when he couldn't see any way out, when it looked like all hope is gone, he said the future is as bright as the promises of God. When you yourself come up against it and the darkness encompass you, begin to say the future is as bright as the promises of God. The future is bright as the promises of God. As you can begin to confess God's word and begin to continue to say that, Oh, in the midst of that darkness will be a pinhole of light. And as you continue to confess God's word, that light will get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as you confess the word of God until the darkness is dispelled and the light of God comes in and transforms you into that great hope, that great future that God has for you. My last thoughts for you this morning is keep looking at what God has promised. Keep believing in what God has promised and keep speaking what God has promised, and you'll find that you'll walk in the light, and in that light you'll find that there is a great, great, great hope, and you'll find a future for you that you've never dreamed of. Because my spirit will lead you and guide you and move you to the place that I want you to be. I have a future for you. Believe it, confess it, and you will see it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, that wasn't in my notes. That was coming from the Spirit of God, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody get anything out of this today? Say it with me. The future is as bright as the promises of God. Let's make it personal. My future is as great as the promises of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Would you bow your heads for just a moment, please? I never like to do a message without giving somebody an opportunity to find Jesus or to rededicate their life to God. I've been talking about the great hope that we have in God. But you can't have that if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or if you have, and you're not just where you're supposed to be with Him right now, you need to rededicate your life. I want to pray with you and for you. If it's the same way out there. Anybody in this room, you need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. Let me see your hand anywhere in the room right now. Anywhere in the room right now. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anybody, anywhere. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Anybody else want to join this one? This is a time to change your future by believing and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Over here, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Upstairs, downstairs, wherever you're at. I need Jesus. I need to rededicate. Would you stand, please? I want to ask, if you raised your hand, or should have raised your hand, or wanted to raise your hand, I want to ask you to do something, please, because I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to receive some of the things that we'd like to give to you and make sure that you get prayed with. Would you just please step out and come down here? If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, would you just come on right now? Please, come on. I know two people, maybe three. Come on. Come on right now. Don't hold back. Come on. I want to give you some materials. I want to pray with you. Would you please come? Come on. All right, here we come. Yes, praise God. Glory to God.
And I surrender.
Come on, whoever was over here. There we go. Come on.
And I surrender.
Anybody from the balcony? Just come on, you didn't raise your hand. You should have raised your hand. Come on.
To thee, my
whether you raised your hand or didn't raise your hand. If you wanted to raise your hand, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. You're never too old. You're never too young to receive Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody else want to come? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You that are standing. standing here, look up my direction. I want to pray for each of you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, given some literature. Would you just follow Greg to that place right now? Just go right now. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. If you're watching online and you need Jesus or you need to rededicate your life, I want you to repeat this prayer after me with this congregation right now. Just wherever you're at, just raise a hand like this. And with that hand, you're saying, I'm surrendering to you, Lord. Say this with me after this congregation. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he lived. I believe he died for my salvation. I believe he rose again from the dead. And I confess him as Lord of my life. You said in your holy word, if I would believe those things in my heart and confess them with my mouth, I will be saved. I thank you, Lord, that I am a new person in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, and amen and amen. If you happen to have prayed that prayer with us, would you just go to your computer and go to partnerservices@rhema.org and let us know about it? We want to contact you and give you some things. Praise the Lord.